brought to you by bedroombattlefield.com. This is the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. It's question of the month time once again. We're just going into December now. And the question we were asking throughout November was around your own relationship with miniature painting. Obviously, miniature painting is a massive part of the tabletop miniature hobby, but it means many different things to many different people. You know, for some folks, it's the main part of their hobby. It's something they want to sort of strive for mastery. Maybe they are a competition painter or a display painter, and, you know, it's all about building towards Golden Demon and all the other painting competitions out there. For other folks, it's more therapeutic. You know, it's something they do to kind of kick back and relax and just enjoy themselves, switch their brain off for a wee bit and go into autopilot. There are folks out there that don't mind doing it, but it's really just a means to an end. Like, you know, can I get three or four colours on these wee guys and just get them on the table, because it's very much building towards playing your next game. And then, of course, you do get the folks as well that just flat out hate painting. Maybe they still try and do it themselves. Maybe they just don't play painted at all, or maybe they hire somebody else to do it. So yeah, that was the question of the month. What's your own relationship with miniature painting? And we've got some great clips to dig into in just a second. I did want to say I'm really sorry if you were trying to get your clip in this month and couldn't. We did have some website issues because we were moving the site to a different host, and that disrupted the service a wee bit. So if you did try and get a clip in this month and you couldn't, I'm really sorry about that. And hopefully that's all behind us now and we will be able to get clips in, no bother, for the December question of the month, which I'll talk about later in the episode. But no need to hold us up any longer. Let's dive into it and hear all the answers from November.
Hello, Matthew. This is James Humacti from the server. When it comes to miniature painting, I find that back in the day, painting was all that I was interested in. Not achieving high perfection. There were certainly no YouTube tutorials for me back then, and there were no guidebooks other than the official ones, and I certainly didn't have those. But I did find that I tried my best to achieve the look and feel of the things. Mostly it was the Lord of the Rings miniatures, almost entirely, apart from some Black Templars that I purchased at the time. And I tried to match them to how they were in the movies. I thought I did a pretty good job. In fact, I had a look at some of them that I had kept even after the Great Purge, and they were not bad. And now that I've come back in again, as of last year, I first tried painting just for fun, and then I tried to achieve, you know, higher levels of painting, and then I tried to see what I could do with different paints and different techniques and everything. And for a while I was getting frustrated where I couldn't produce what I was seeing, and I was being overly critical of my own painting. But I paint to relax. I paint to enjoy. And I still have barely got my minis to the table and had actual games of them, though I hope to very soon. So mini painting is what I'm doing it for. The act of painting, the act of relaxing while painting and focusing down on one mini, one paint job, one focused, hyper-focused moment. And I find that that does it for me. So if I was put in a position where I couldn't game, or I had to game or paint, it would be painting. And I feel like I have got better than I was before, and hopefully I'll continue to improve. But I would very much like to get these onto the table. Who knows, with the new edition of Middle Earth Strategy Battle Game coming out and all the hype based on the new movie, I will hopefully be able to get to a game. I live in Portland, Oregon, and there's a very active group over here playing just this game, so we'll see. I'll certainly update if that's the case. Thank you for the podcast.
Hello, Sean here, aka Timeless Gaming UK on Discord and Timeless Tabletop Gaming on YouTube. My relationship with painting, I would say, has changed since I started the hobby. I think when I first started getting into Warhammer, the seeing painted miniatures was a really big part of what I like about the visual identity of tabletop gaming. And I was definitely inspired by White Dwarf and especially going to a Games Workshop and seeing like the really nicely painted miniatures, certainly by my standards, really nicely painted miniatures in the display cabinets. And I think I originally found painting quite frustrating because mine never looked like the pictures in White Dwarf. They never looked like the miniatures in those cabinets. So I think I kind of got frustrated quite early, and painting quickly became a bit of a chore. I've got a strong memory of sitting down to try and paint something as well as I could. I can't remember what it was. I think it might have been a miniature from Space Crusade or something like that. And it would have been one of the first miniatures I'd tried to paint, and all these kind of grand ambitions in my head of how it was going to turn out. And this was a time before I knew anything about painting or good technique or anything. So I didn't even realize that you were supposed to prime a miniature. So I didn't have any primer. So I just started trying to paint on, the few paints I had directly onto the miniature. And of course, being a Space Crusade miniature, it was kind of like a colored plastic. I think it was like a green orc or something. I was trying to paint his clothes red, but the green plastic just would just still show through. And of course, now I realize that, that probably would work if you just painted enough layers. But back then, it immediately kind of just made me a little bit frustrated and a bit wary of painting. And yeah, it took me a long time, I think, to settle into it. There were a few times where I was kind of happy with something, eventually when I learned how to prime miniatures and how to maybe thin down my paints and all that sort of stuff. But quite often, painting was just something I tried to just get done as quickly as possible. So I was pretty happy when I learned the technique of just base coat and then just slap a wash all over it and then call it a day, and then maybe dry brush in. And for the longest time, I would say that's how I just painted miniatures. I like to see painted miniatures. I like to have painted miniatures, but I never really took any joy in it, in the process itself, or in trying to really improve. And I would say maybe that changed, I think, when I think the first thing was when I rebought a copy of Warhammer Quest, and it felt like a kind of a special thing that I was really keen to get looking nice. And so I really wanted to make, especially the heroes, I really wanted to paint up the heroes really well. So I really took my time painting up the barbarian, the wizard, the dwarf, and the elf. And, I really sort of studied the pictures that come on the side of the box and just tried to replicate it as best I could. And, I'm really pleased with how those turned out. And they're still, when I look back at those miniatures, and these would have been painted probably about 20, maybe 25 years ago even. But I'm still really pleased with how those miniatures look. And I think from then on, I realized that there was a lot of joy to be gained in the process of painting and with trying a bit harder than I had previously. Since then, I'd say another big project I took on was Escape from Goblin Town, which was a Middle-earth strategy battle game starter set that's got really nice miniatures in it. And I really painstakingly took a lot of time to paint up that entire box set. It's got a lot of unique characters in it. You've got the whole kind of Thorin's company. All the dwarves are very unique, and they all have, unique outfits and, clothes and weapons and everything. They all look really distinct. So it's quite a fun project to paint up because it involves lots of different colors and lots of different techniques and things. So I had a lot of fun with that. And then, my current sort of big project is my 10 millimeter Battle of Five Armies set. And with that, I'd say it's a completely different kind of joy that I get from painting. They're being 10 millimeter, they're obviously a lot smaller, so they're a lot less detailed than a 28 millimeter figure. But I actually find I enjoy the process of painting them probably more than I've ever enjoyed painting 28 millimeter. And I think that's just because by kind of definition, you're kind of painting in a factory line type process. Because there's so many figures to paint and they come in strips, so you get seven figures per stand. And often I'll be just painting one stand after another as well of the same unit type. And you just get into a really zen state where you're just really focused. And with the miniatures being so small, you really have to kind of focus in and pick out those little details. And when you're doing base coats, it's all about being very, very neat. You know, you're not trying to get loads of highlights on or anything like that. It's just about getting a really good base coat down and then maybe a little wash and then a few sort of edge highlights or bringing out those base coat colours again. And I do find that a really enjoyable painting process. And especially you can put on maybe a podcast or an audio book or some music. And I just find it a really nice way to spend a couple of hours. So, and I think that pretty much brings me up to date, really. So yeah, that's kind of been my painting journey. And yeah, so as I say, it's kind of changed over the years. Whereas started out as a bit of a chore, then became kind of something I would just rush through, or up to now where, you know, I would say it's a big part of the hobby for me, and perhaps even the most pleasurable bit of the hobby, maybe, because I don't really play that much. You know, I enjoy the collecting, but yeah, so that's my story anyway. I'm looking forward to hearing everyone else's. Catch you later. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Callum, aka Dr. Spork here. As you may have noticed, I didn't answer last month's question. Why is that, you may ask? Well, it's because I'm a dirty stoppin' who doesn't play games and just sits at home painting his little men. Designing, sculpting, making, and most importantly, painting models is about 95% of this hobby for me. I find it relaxing and fulfilling. It allows me to express myself and does absolute wonders for my mental health. I find great joy in painstakingly painting details and flourishes, so much so that I've needed to work hard on tempering my desire to paint everything to the highest standard I can. You see, I do actually want to play some games occasionally. And at the speed I paint, I will never have a finished army. I actually have a game arranged to play next August. And if I want to take part, I need to lower my own expectations. A little bit, at least. And so far, I am managing it. As some of you know, I have been painting a Genestealer occult army, and have managed to put a good dent in that, through discipline and the occasional little treat. I like to do what I refer to as a palate cleanser. I paint a unit of cultists, then I paint one miniature to the best of my abilities. I painted Jeff as one, and have one of the wonderful little Ontos Games rock notes that Chris gave me when I met him at Bring Out Your Lead as my current one. I know I can't paint everything to that level, and I know trying would drive me mad. So I'm glad to have found a middle ground that suits me. I am really looking forward to hearing everyone's answers to this, as it is my favourite part of the hobby. As always, huge thanks to Matthew for the podcast, and if anyone is interested, you can find me on their wonderful Bedroom Battlefields Discord, or as Dr. Spork on Blue Sky and Mastodon. And until next time, get out there and slay the grey.
Hello, Matthew. This is Carl Paulson from not-so-sunny Chicago, Illinois, with Chicago Skirmish War Games Club. ChicagoSkirmishWarGames.com. Painting. Well, you've hit at my weak spot here. Painting is, to my shame, the part of the hobby that I am least enjoying. It's been this way for years. It's not that much fun. So I always play with painted miniatures. It's been a decade since I've put an unpainted figure on a war games table. I enjoy building and painting terrain. I just find painting those little guys a chore. I found a way around it a few different ways. I've managed to trade or buy a couple of painted armies. On quite a number of occasions, I've exchanged my terrain building services to friends in exchange for painted figures, or just traded painted figures so that we can be less monotonous in our army building. But it is tough. I also, when I do paint, try to paint pretty quickly, do a base spray coat, and then paint on some block colors, do a dip in Minwax poly shades, and a bit of dry brushing, perhaps some details. But they are quickly painted as fast as I can to get them to a tabletop standard that looks good from 4 feet away. So definitely not going for perfectionism. It's definitely kind of something I see as a means to an end, because I adore the spectacle of painted armies on a good terrain on a tabletop. That's a key to my experience. But so miniature painting, very far down the list of things, a hobby that I enjoy, but definitely something I'm entirely in favor of. And one more thing, converting miniatures, tons of fun. Even lead miniatures. Basic miniatures, tons of fun. Kit bashing, tons of fun. But man, painting, it's a tough one. Thanks again.
Hello, this is Jason Four from the Discord. Painting. I have a really bizarre relationship when it comes to painting. I love doing it, but in order to do it, I have to have kind of everything perfect. It has to be quiet. Have to be in the right spot. I have to have a decent amount of time. I'm not one of those people that can sit down and paint for 10 minutes. I've got to have at least an hour or two. I'm a slow painter. I think my figures turn out very well, but it takes me a long time to get them done. I really envy the people that paint a lot of miniatures pretty well, as opposed to me that I think paint a few miniatures really well, because inevitably I'm always behind the curve with my friends, because they've got their whole gangs out on the table and I've got two guys and six gray dudes. So that's a little frustrating, but I just can't seem to help myself. I also struggle with not giving every miniature I paint tons of love, because A, they're expensive, so I don't want to just slap some paint on them. I want to do them right. I really, as I'm painting a miniature, I really, this sounds kind of strange, but I really become enamored by it. You know, what is, be it, you know, a Dalak Necromunda guy, or, you know, a leader from Silver Bayonet, while I'm painting it, you know, I'm thinking, okay, this is the only miniature in the world and I'm going to do a fantastic job on it. And again, that's also an impediment to getting miniatures on the table. But I've come to accept it. You know, my friends tease me and I let it roll off my back like water off a duck. You know, they'll say, here comes Jason's gray army. And I'm just like, you know what? That's me. That's who I am. And that's who I'm always going to be. So, in summary, I love it. I find it a little frustrating for a few reasons, but it's definitely my biggest distraction from work and family. And allows me to just kind of go into a zone where nothing else bothers me. And it's a super great relief in that way for the stresses of life. So I wouldn't give it up for anything, despite the frustrations. Kind of a crazy answer, but that's what you got.
Hello, Matthew. It's Ed from the Discord and Sussex here. I'm sitting in my newly prepared hobbying space. I'm relaxing. We've just converted the top room in our house, our loft room, into a hobby room for me, which is great. So it's a nice little space for me to think about what is my relationship with painting. And primarily what got me back into painting was using it as therapy. I find it very calming and relaxing. And so It is one of the ways that I like to relax and unwind. So that's a big part of my relationship with painting. But what really motivates me beyond that to paint? Well, there's two sort of key motivations, I guess. The first one is to get miniatures on table. I am not a fine painter. My models look decent, I would like to think, but I came very much to a tabletop standard. And so I like to have a reason to get stuff painted and get stuff on the table. So knowing that I've got a game coming up against someone is really good motivation for getting things done. The other big motivation is working on a project. I like to set myself little projects. I have far more projects than I can feasibly do at the moment in one go. So I try to sort of set myself a thing where I'll say, this is what I want to do over the next month or the next 2 to 3 months. And then I try to focus on that. I really find that helps me get stuff done. And then once I've done a project like that, often I'll do some smaller projects. Just do 2 or 3 small bands, small war bands, or do a terrain piece or two just to cleanse the palette. Those are kind of the key things with me in terms of what I paint and why I paint. And I would be really interested to hear what everyone else has to say about their relationship with painting. I know I have friends at the club who painting is a chore. And I have to say, it doesn't feel that way to me. But each to their own. And we all find something interesting in this hobby. And for those of us who enjoy both the painting and the playing, I guess we're doubly blessed. Anyway, thank you very much, Matthew, and I look forward to hearing everyone else's feedback.
Hello, Matthew and podcast listeners. This is Johan calling in from Taiwan, calling in for this month's question, which is about miniature painting. Of course, a big part of our hobby. And so the question is it something we strive for mastery and recognition in, or is it something we do to relax without worrying about perfectionism? I would say in general, I fall into the second camp. I find immense amount of relaxation out of painting. It's one of my favorite things to do early in the morning when the kids are in school. I usually have a little bit of time before I have to go to work. And so listening to this wonderful podcast or one of the other podcasts like Crown of Command or Rule of Carnage, or all of the podcasts that have been regularly recommended. I find my most relaxed time of the day is sitting, listening to podcasts and painting. I really enjoy it. Although, you know, in general, I try to paint just to get my miniatures done and get them ready for the table. And having a complete army painted is always something I try to strive for. And it's always been fun, even if I'm doing a small skirmish squad, or if I'm doing a larger army, I love to see the final product. You know, I take as many photos as I can. I always find immense amount of joy out of it. So I try to keep in mind that most people are not going to pick up my miniature and stare at all the imperfections. It's mostly going to be on a table and it's going to be viewed from the top. So I try to keep that in mind. Having said that, I do from time to time try and challenge myself to take one specific miniature and try and get it as painted as well as I can. Maybe if it's a hero or, you know, something completely different to do as a sort of a palette cleanser when I'm busy with a larger army, like I'm doing recently, painting High Elves from the Oathmark miniatures. And I've been doing that for a couple of weeks now, maybe a few months. And the other day, I just decided I want to do something completely different. I want to do something sci-fi and realize I haven't painted in a space marine ever, you know. And so I had some sprues and I clipped off one and painted a white scar. And I've always loved that, you know, that
color scheme, and I was trying to see how well I could paint it. And so, you know, in the end, maybe I learned something from that experience, and I could put it back into my general painting toolkit that I use when I'm painting larger armies. So, yeah, I'm not trying to impress anyone. I post my pictures on my Instagram. And if you want to go look for that, you can go and find my Instagram. I have to go look what my Instagram handle is. So if you're interested, it's JEVOUSZA. That's an Instagram. So that's where I post most of my miniatures. So I get to share my hobby as well a little bit. But again, I am not trying to win any golden demons here. Just trying to have fun and relax and have a great time. In any case. Thanks again for the podcast. Always enjoy listening to it on my commutes. Thank you again for doing all this. Hope to call in again soon. Bye-bye.
Hello. This is Darren again, Narad on the Discord, calling in from California. The question of the month about miniature painting. For me, miniature painting is kind of why I play miniature games. I started painting when I was a little kid, but my love was always RPGs, was always D&D, and so I painted them to use them for role-playing games. And I had interest in Warhammer, but never really played it beyond HeroQuest. And really never got into war games in any serious way, really until the last few years when I've gotten back into painting more than ever. I started painting a bunch of board games, is what happened a few years ago, almost 10 years ago. I started painting like Kickstarter board games. Like, most recently, the last one I did, I painted the Dungeon Saga Origins game and stuff. So I started painting things like that, like Kickstarters. And then during lockdown, I slowly got into the idea, realized I wasn't going to be being able to role play with people as much. I kind of got more into skirmish games as a way I could game solo, really. And then I've painted up some armies for A Song of Ice and Fire, and that was really where I got into this idea of like batch painting a lot. I'd never really batch painted before, and so I started doing. I did two army. I've done like 2.5 armies for Song of Ice and Fire. The Game of Thrones war game. And now here I am like painting up kind of a Chaos Warriors army for the old Warhammer, the old world. But really the playing, if I play occasionally, that's fine. Mostly it's just a routine to paint every evening when the kids go to sleep. That's basically my relationship with painting is it's a very relaxing, just pastime, a thing to do, put on a podcast and just chill out. It's way better than, I don't like TV really anymore or movies. So I just listen to things and paint, and I don't really care how good they are. I think I've gotten better with all the YouTube's tips and tricks these days that you see, but I don't really care. I don't barely ever even show them to people. I just enjoy painting. And as always, I really enjoy this podcast and enjoy the Discord community. Love seeing everyone's projects on the Discord. And thanks again for doing this great podcast.
Hello, Matthew. This is Chris Snyder. When it comes to painting, I enjoy painting, but not enough that I would want to paint and put the models in a display cabinet. If I'm going to paint a model, it's with the intention that I'm going to play a game with it. And because I enjoy older games, I'm really not influenced much by new models. I'm very much a nostalgia painter and a nostalgia player. Another thought I have about painting is that I think it's really important for painters to develop their own painting style and kind of go with the methods that they seem to enjoy and what works for them, and not necessarily try to chase after what other people are doing or whatever the current painting fad is. I know some people will say, like, oh, I like to paint in the style of John Blanche. John Blanche paints in the style of John Blanche. You should paint in the style of you and try to work to develop what you feel comfortable with and kind of create your own painting identity. Sometimes I'll see pictures of models online and I can immediately recognize who painted it because I'm kind of familiar with the way they paint. And I hope that I can develop a style that others would look and say, oh, I could tell Chris painted that because that's kind of the way he paints things. And I think that even though this is like a fun hobby, it kind of makes me sad sometimes to see like a competitiveness amongst painters where, you know, they're trying to like outdo each other. And I just don't think that that's very productive. For me, it's much more interesting to see someone create their own uniqueness and their own creativity in what they're painting or in how they're painting. So anyway, that's just my two cents on that. See ya.
Hi, this is Jeff Hyatt from Northern California. To answer your question for this month, for me, painting is the main aspect of the hobby. It's something I enjoy deeply, more as a creative practice than a pursuit of mastery or recognition. Most mornings, I spend about an hour painting as a form of meditation before I start my day. I always have multiple large projects on my desk, so there's a constant flow of pieces being worked on. While I do love playing games with my friends, my painting projects are often linked to bigger events I host at conventions. My goal isn't perfection, but to create an impressive, immersive tabletop experience for these events. I moved away from competitive painting about 20 years ago and stopped doing commission work about 12 years ago, so now I paint purely for my own enjoyment. I've come to see painting as an ongoing process where no piece is ever truly finished. Instead, I let go when I feel it's time, which has helped me get through my pile of opportunity. For me, painting is both a creative outlet and a calming ritual without the pressure of perfection. Thanks for the question.
So massive thanks to everyone who submitted their question in November. And once again, I'm really sorry if you tried to get something in and you just couldn't. That wasn't your fault. It was the web post and everything like that. But like I say, it should all be fixed now. And if you go to bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail, you'll find the December question of the month. So we're coming up to the end of the year now. And it's kind of almost expected that at this time of year, we do like New Year's resolutions. We talk about what we're planning. And, you know, it's all about looking forward. But really, I think a better approach is sometimes to look backwards at what we've actually achieved. I think there's a lot more value in stopping to smell the roses. So I'm wanting to hear in December, I'm wanting you to send me a clip and tell me all about what you feel you've achieved in 2024 with your hobby. What things have you enjoyed? What memories stand out to you? Maybe you've went to a particular event for the first time and really enjoyed that. Maybe you've done something with your painting that you feel has taken it to the next level, or just a light bulb moment with that. Maybe you've created a game, you know, maybe you've created a miniature range, whatever it is in your hobby that's unique to you. I want to hear about that, and I'm sure everyone else does too. So please get them in before the end of December. Again, you could do that by going to bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail. You'll find the software, you could record the clip directly in there, or you could email it to me as well, hello@bedroombattlefields.com. So I'm going to chat to Mark in a second, just a wee catch up about what's been going on in the Discord. Quick mention before I do, I have been doing a couple of wee bits and pieces on YouTube recently. This is just all experimental. I did come into some video recording kit via my day job, and I thought to myself, you know, when I was testing that out, I did a couple of wee videos here and there, one of which was showing my 15mm armies, which, you know, I've talked about a lot on this podcast, my Orc and Goblin army and my human army as well. So I decided to do a wee video of just showing them off and talking through them. Again, the quality is not exactly brilliant, but you know, it gives you a wee look at these two forces if you're interested. So I'll put a link to the Bedroom Battlefields YouTube channel in the show notes. It's not something I've ever planned to do anything with, but again, it's another platform that now and then I might add some content to. So aye, that's all I really had to mention, was that there's some YouTube content as a companion to this podcast, which is really the main event. All right then, let's chat some community stuff now with Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Yes, I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, I called you Mark there. I see in the recording software you've called yourself Robin Gibb.
I'm on my work computer and it just brings it straight through from my profile. So that's my actual name. I use an alias on the Discord so I don't get in trouble with the record company and the Time Machine company.
Well, it's good to have you here, Robin. We'll see how long I could keep you before your brother storms off. So, I thought we could have a wee catch up with the Discord, which I'm really guilty about. Like, I'm quite bad at keeping up with it. I not look at it for quite a long period of time and then go in and look at it all at once, which I don't know. That suits me, but like I feel like I'm rushing past a lot of things that I would like to learn more about or see more of. So I don't know. I guess that's just the way the internet is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what's good about it, I know you could, in theory, have absolutely hundreds of channels and break down the content a bit more. But what is good about it is how lots of people are talking about slightly different variations on a theme. So you get that slightly overlapping content potentially. But it's quite nice because it means that people can be having, I don't know, it's just a good way of collecting all the stuff together and searching through for inspiration. I find it really useful for just sort of remembering back, oh, I'm sure someone put something on. And the search feature on there is quite powerful, actually. Even if you don't type in the word exactly how they wrote it, it's generally pretty good at finding things. So I found a few things recently that, you know, maybe a year or two old that I just sort of vaguely recall. Like, I'm sure someone put something on about, I don't know, Bretonian knights. And you type that in and you'll find something. So, yeah, it's getting a really rich bank of stuff on there now.
Yeah, I'll just type Manticore in there and see how much.
Then that just crashes the internet. That's 90% of all entries. Speaking of which, Crooked Dice have bought, I don't know if they've bought the whole lot of the Otherworld miniatures range, but they've certainly bought many of the Otherworld range, and they've re-released two of their Manticores, and they are pretty spectacular, actually. So I've shared the pictures of those two in there. So if you are interested in Manticores, then there's good Manticore stuff to be had.
Otherworld, I'm sure I bought miniatures from them in the past and they were really cool. They might have been the company, I apologise to them if they weren't, but there was one company, which I think might have been them, where like if the more you bought, the more the postage went up. And I get yeah. That's the thing about weight, but it went up considerably and you're like, you know, if I add one more miniature, the price of the postage goes up like a fiver. And I was like, that. You know, if anything, you'd think it maybe come down a wee bit, but weird.
Yeah, you would. I think Crooked Dice bought them because they went out of business because someone on the internet, some content creator was going on about their delivery pricing model and it just knocked them out of business. So who knows?
Yeah. Well, that's the first impact of this podcast, at least industry-wide.
But no, they're great. It's a great range. I think actually it was just, well, you know, and maybe the people who ran it were retiring or moving on or whatever it might be, because these things happen. But what's brilliant is then when people can pick up a range of stuff and re-release it. So that's the cool thing about it. And some of the people in our Discord know loads about this, and they'll be like, oh yeah, this used to be this person, and they ran this range, and they've got it now, and they've picked it up. And I think it is. It is an important thing that when there's a good range of stuff out there, that it doesn't kind of go missing, really. But I think that running these businesses often is more of a labor of love for someone in their spare time than not at all. So mm-hmm. Perhaps that's why the pricing was like that on the delivery, because they were just using standard Royal Mail. And, you know, these toys are heavy, so they cost quite a lot to post when you've got a lot of them. But, yeah, I know what you mean, that it is, you'd want to be tempted into buying more, wouldn't you, really, on the whole?
Yeah. Yeah, incentivize people to buy your stuff instead of actually putting them off. Speaking of the Discord, though, have you noticed any sort of trends in there lately in terms of, like, are a lot of people painting? Are a lot of people, like, buying new stuff? Like, what's the kind of lay of the land on that front, if any?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I think probably in the run-up to Christmas, there's probably been a little bit less painting going on. I've seen, and there's probably been a little bit less buying, but what there seems to have been quite a lot of terrain making, actually. So I've noticed people doing that. I wonder if when people get deliveries of parcels for Christmas presents, they're getting lots of random bits of packaging and polystyrene and cardboard and things, and they're kind of being inspired to do that. There's been loads of great terrain stuff going on. That's not to say there hasn't been really loads of miniature painting and stuff. I mean, there's a few I kind of thought were worth calling out in the miniatures channel, actually. So Kazdok was posting some Space Marines he'd painted, and he'd done them with, he bought some high quality makeup brushes and was doing like a dry brushing, zenithal dry brushing, really subtly going from black up to presumably white, and then putting thin layers of contrast paint over. And they look amazing. They almost look like the armor on the Space Marines looks like it's kind of like jeweled. It's really, really super cool. So they're worth checking out. He's done a brilliant job on those. Norman and Rob Dean, father and son, they've both posted some really nice knights and Robin Hood figures that they've done. I think they're perhaps the Airfix Robin Hood models, which are, you know, really old sculpts, but they painted them so amazingly well. They're really lovely. And other Rob Fodzilla, he's posted up lots of pictures of his dwarf army, but I said to him, oh, you've got to show us a picture of your army, you know, all together. And he'd mocked one up with, he put his battle mat over some books to make it like a hill. And then he put his battle master's tower in the background, and he's got this dwarf hot air balloon, and he put all the figures out. It looked really super cool. And he superimposed on Photoshop I think it was background, a photograph of Dartmoor or a painting of Dartmoor or something. It just looked really ace. So those are the kind of army shots that are just, they're just spectacular to see. So there's some really lovely stuff there. The one thing I think trend-wise that's been happening more than anything else has been gaming and events and things. There's been loads going on, actually. I mean, we had a UK Games Day that we ran here where I live, and Jason, Luke, and Ed and Tim all came up to that, and that was brilliant. We've got some great photos on there. Big, big game of Warhammer. We've got... there was... Carl hosted an event at his in Chicago, which David and another Jason attended, and some other people, sort of a get together between his Chicago Skirmish War Games Club and Bedroom Battlefields people over in Chicago, and they played a Grim Dark Future. But they also did this terrain making thing, because Carl's got this millions of stuff, all these terrain bits, and they put together all this fantastic stuff, and that looked brilliant. There was a big conference in... I think it's Pennsylvania, called Fall In, and Chris Snyder and Rob Dean and Cameron were all there, and they got a photo of the three of them there and photos that they were taking, and Cam was running Man of War games, and that looked really, really good as well. Certainly one of these big hotel-based things. And then there was a two-day event in Farnborough in... Is that Hampshire? Near, in the south of England anyway. And several people went there as well and were posting photos of what they bought or what they played and done things there. So it looked like a busy month for maybe not painting so much, but certainly getting out there and playing games, which is great to see.
The Bedroom Battlefields Patreon now comes with bonus content, the first of which is a full battle report from White Dwarf issue 166. I read through this iconic showdown from 1993 between Blood Angels General Andy Chambers and Orc Warboss Jervis Johnson as they showcase the new Warhammer 40,000 second edition. Find out more at patreon.com/bedroombattlefields. That's patreon.com/bedroombattlefields. And now back to the show. Speaking of December, tell us about the Royal Orc this month.
Yeah, so this is our... We come back full circle. So the first time the Royal Orc was granted a temporary alcohol license by the Altdorf District Council was last December. And then following that successful run, we applied for an official permanent license and have then opened every quarter since. So in March, June and September. And so we're coming back round for the next December one. So it will be an opportunity just to get people together, new people, very, very welcome to join. It'd be fantastic to see some new faces in there. So for people who don't know what it is, it's essentially an online meeting on Discord. It's on Monday the 16th of December between 7 and 9 UK time. There's loosely a sort of little bit of an agenda where we can talk about different things or have a bit of a chat or play some games or mess about. There's going to be a bit of an opportunity to get to know each other and talk about the year that we've just had. So I think that would tie in nicely with your question as well, to try and get people sort of start thinking about what they might want to say there. And there's also going to be, I'm planning on doing, I've got a nightmare choose your own adventure book. So I was hoping to do a little bit of that and get people to sort of mutually choose as a group which paths we're going to take, whether we go left or right, which we know is always filled with peril as a decision. So that's going to be good fun. And we've also got the special Secret Santa, the Santa Night Fever opportunity to hopefully open your Christmas presents from one another, if that's able to get off the ground. I know you're busy beavering away at the logistics behind it all.
Yeah, I'm just chasing up time of recording. I'm just chasing up a few scragglers who've not got the address over to me yet. So I will try again today and give them another day or two, but then time's running out, so I'm going to get people that sorted out with their Secret Santa and let them basically get to the post office or whatever the regional alternative is.
Perfect, that sounds really good. And I think so, yeah, that's a session that's really good fun. It's lighthearted. There's no requirement to you know, I say join in, you know, you can just listen in if you want, you can just join in without your camera on, you can do whatever you like, but it's just nice as an opportunity for people to get together. I think on each of the occasions when we've run it, we've had between sort of 10 to 20 people. So it's a good number and really nice sociable event, actually. So get on board with it, whoever you may be. All are welcome.
Cool. Just before we get wrapped up, like what have you been up to, Mark? You've been painting anything, playing anything recently?
Yeah, so I mean, since the games day that we have, I haven't played a lot. Have I played anything? I might play one small game. I think I did play one small game. But I've been cracking on with my painting. I've got all my wood elf stuff to do, and I've been doing that for the Call of the Crown challenge for David as well. Not all of it. Some of it I've been just painting anyway. But I haven't got as much done as I wanted to. Like where I work, it's always really, really busy in October and November, working a lot of evenings. So I've worked two evenings already this week, and I've got two more next week. So it is busy in terms of that. So I'm not getting quite the amount of time. But yeah, just busy, just slowly but surely cracking on with the wood elves. And they're starting to look really good, actually. When you can put them back in the boxes and have a look and go, oh yeah, I'm getting a decent amount here. It's really satisfying. So, and there's a view to running another games day, which we're hoping to do in the spring, so probably sort of March or April time. So that's going to need to crack on with that. Also, Jason has written up the games day thing that we had. He wrote a brilliant article. I've contributed some. Luke's contributed to it. Ed's contributed to it. So we've got that, and I've been editing it together, getting photos together with a view to sending it to Josh for the the Hero Hammer fanzine. I mean, it's a long article, like the kind of classic long length. You know, sort of long form battle reports he used to get in White Dwarf. So hopefully that will be something that people of our vintage would appreciate that. And it's, you know, Jason's done a great job on it. It really, reads really entertainingly, and he's describing his role as the games master as well, which is nice because it gives a real insight into not only how the game went, but also why it went the way it went and why he chose to run it the way he did. So it's, yeah, it's a really great article, actually. I'm looking forward to seeing that published, hopefully, if it's able to be.
Yeah, you got all your White Dwarf 90s style headshots. One of you's got a mullet, the other one's got like a big woolly jersey on.
Yeah, a Miami Dolphins oversized shirt on as well. Someone in that backwards baseball cap, carrying a skateboard.
Cool. I am looking forward to the Hero Hammer fanzine. It's good to hear that that's come back, because the older editions looked amazing. Like you can't really tell the difference between it and a White Dwarf.
No, it's phenomenal. And I think that it's just wonderful to open it up and just think, oh yeah, this is what it's all about. I think there's also something very nice about presenting the information. Like coming back to your earlier point about the Discord, it's great, fantastic community, but to have something set out in a magazine where it's a bit more edited, a bit more curated, that's also really enjoyable too. Because you could sort of read articles from beginning to end and sit down and have a printed copy and get a bit of time away from the screen. That's always a benefit as well.
Yeah, I think I'd do that. Like if I was an eccentric millionaire rather than just an eccentric peasant, I would have someone like just turn the Discord into a magazine for me, so I wouldn't need to be on the computer, but I could see and read everything in a leisurely manner away from the computer.
Like a printed Amazon catalogue.
Cool. I think that's everything we had to cover, Mark, unless there was anything else from your end.
I don't think so, no. It's great to catch up, as always, and just go through things. And I think the final thing is really just say, well, absolutely encourage people to consider joining the Royal Orc session as well. And if you're not sure how to do so, or you're not on the Discord, then, you know, you can get on there and just have a look in the in-person events channel, there's a post about the Royal Orc in there that'll tell you what you need to know.
Thanks very much for listening to this episode of the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. If you enjoy the show, then please do share it with someone else you think might enjoy it too. And be sure to check out our Discord community of like-minded hobbyists, which you could find at bedroombattlefields.com/Discord. It'd be great to see you in there.